This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has a lot of information on it. You can re-listen to the program on the website, and you can read my weekly meditation there. If you would like to contact me, you can contact me through the website. So if you want those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we've been working our way through Luke chapter 8, and we would remember that this is where the Lord is preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 are with him. He's proving himself to be the Son of God. He's going through every city and village, although his ministry at this time is primarily around the Sea of Galilee. In the Gospel of John, his ministry is primarily in Jerusalem on feast days, but here it's around the Sea of Galilee in the province where he grew up, not in the city where he grew up, but in the province where he grew up. And he's teaching the 12 how to witness for him. He's encouraging the 12 to believe in him, and he's sending them to preach the gospel as well. Ultimately, that is, he will send them to preach the gospel as well, and then they become his 12 apostles. But as we go down through this passage, we read about a man last time who was bound with chains because he had an evil spirit, and that evil spirit was cast out. It was called Legion. There was a multitude of demons involved in the casting out of this evil spirit. And I want to go back to that story and look at the very end of it, where this man wants to follow the Lord Jesus. That would be a normal reaction. If a man has been a blessing to you, you would like to get to know him better. You would like to follow him. You'd like to serve him. So this man had asked to do that, and the Lord says in Luke 8, verse 39, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. My question this morning is, do we proclaim what great things God has done for us? I'm making an application with regard to this statement. This man was freed from the bondage of Satan, of demons. He was clothed and in his right mind. There had been a change come over him because the Lord had been able to meet his needs. And now he wants to go out and tell his whole city about what the Lord has done for him. He proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. When we look at the people of God, it's interesting that often we are complainers rather than really being people who proclaim what great things God has done for us. I look at the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and they were redeemed out of Egypt with miracles. There were the miracles that Moses did before Pharaoh, and ultimately you'll remember how that the firstborn children in Egypt were slain because they did not have blood on their doorposts and lintels of their homes. And because of that, they thrust the children of Israel out of that country. The children of Israel left the slavery of Egypt to walk with the Lord to the promised land. And in a sense, that's what we are doing as the people of God. We have been delivered from the slave market of sin, which Egypt represented, and we've been delivered by the blood of a lamb, and that lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have by faith applied it to the doorposts and lintels of our hearts, and now we're traveling through a wilderness on our way to the promised land. I realize the promised land can be looked at in a number of different ways, but at least for our application this morning, I want to think of us traveling in this life through a wilderness on our way to the promised land. You'll remember how that the first thing that happens is that the children of Israel come up against the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they forget how miraculously they've been delivered, and they think that they're going to be overcome by the Egyptians, and they begin to complain, and Moses says, "Stand ye still." and see the salvation of God. And he lifts up his rod, and the sea parts, and the children of Israel go through on dry land, and the very sea that in fact delivers Israel destroys the Egyptians that have decided to come after them because they changed their mind and didn't really want to let them go. They had been slave labor. They had been a part of their economy, and they didn't want to let them go. But nevertheless, the Lord delivered them not only through the Passover lamb, but then he delivered them through the water. And the water, in a way, speaks of what happens when we're baptized, because when we're baptized, we go into the water, we come out of it. It's a resurrected life, and the children of Israel went into a place of death, a sea, and they came out on the other side. And once they came out on the other side, there was no turning back. They couldn't go through that Red Sea again. And it's like that with our baptisms. Our baptisms speak of resurrection. It speaks of the mighty work of God in dying for our sins and being raised again, but it speaks of us identifying with that death, burial, and resurrection. And once we have taken our public stand with the Lord through baptism, there is no going back. And now our journey is through the wilderness, which is this world, until we reach the promised land, until we pass through Jericho, the place of death, to get to the promised land. Now, on the way, they forget, do they not, about all the good things the Lord has done for them. And they complain because they don't have water. And then they complain because they don't have anything to eat. They don't have bread. The Lord provides them water. The Lord provides them bread. And they do all kinds of complaining just because the way seems hard. And yes, this life does seem hard at times, but the Lord would be glorified if we would remember the great things he has done for us. And the children of Israel should remember the great things that he had done for them. Do we remember the great things that have been done for us? I think of this man and the power he had when he went through the city, telling them how that he had been delivered by this man, this one that is called Jesus. He was delivered from the bondage of that demon, or those demons, those legions of demons. The men had no power to deliver him. Men only could put chains on him and restrain him so he wouldn't hurt them or hurt himself. But the Lord could deliver him completely and give him a new life. And he proclaimed that, and he had apparently a desire to proclaim it. I think he proclaimed it not so much out of duty, but out of love and hope, in hopes that other people too would get their problems met through this one who had met his need. Now, I ask myself, do I proclaim the good works of God? Do I proclaim what great things God has done for me? And not too long ago, I told you on this program how the Lord had reached me with the gospel and had delivered me from the penalty that my sin deserved, how I was born again and how I was saved. And I've printed that tract up, and as a matter of fact, a copy of it's on the website. And if you'd like a copy, a printed copy, write to me and I'll send you as many copies as you would like, because I believe one good gospel message that we all have in us is the story of how we came to know the Lord, how the Lord delivered us from the penalty that we deserved because of our sin, how he freed us from serving Satan and turned us into servants or slaves of righteousness, slaves of Christ. And so I've told you about my conversion. My wife can tell you about her conversion, what great things God did for her. She was young, 12 years old. I think 14 years old. She was young, but nevertheless, the Lord did great things for her when she was saved. And as we go through the Bible, we can see that there's others who can tell about the great things God has done for them. This reminds me of the program called Unshackled that we hear oftentimes on Christian radio stations. It's produced by Pacific Garden Missions in Chicago. And it takes the testimony of people who have been unshackled. That is, they've been under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of the God of this world, much like this man who was demon-possessed was, and how that in hearing the gospel and turning to the Lord, they were unshackled, they were freed from that bondage. And so I love when I'm traveling down the road to tune that program in and listen to the testimonies of people who have had great things done for them by the Lord. Paul could tell you what great things have been done for him. He could tell how in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he would say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And he had had great things done for him. And yes, Paul had a lot that he could have complained about. He knew that the road was going to be difficult and rough once he identified with the Lord Jesus, because just as he had persecuted Christians, the Israelis were now going to be persecuting him, but he counted it a joy to spread the good news of what great things God had done for him. And we find that there's a man that we call the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 who had great things done for him through the reading of the book of Isaiah and through God having an interest in him and sending an evangelist by the name of Philip to him. We find that in Acts chapter 10, there's a centurion who has Peter sent to him. And this man is a Gentile, and he can, after Peter explains the gospel to him, and he and those who listen to it receive that truth. After they had said, "We are all here present to hear all things that are commanded thee of God," they were saved. And they could tell what great things God had done for them. And in Acts chapter 16, there's a Philippian jailer. And he has an earthquake at night and thinks that his prisoners have fled. And amongst his prisoners are Paul and Silas. But they haven't fled. And that night he has the gospel preached to him and to all that are in his house. And he believes the gospel. And he comes to Paul and Silas and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe on," or "trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, it wasn't that his house was saved because he believed. His house was saved because the message that he believed was a message that they could believe as well. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and if thy house believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved." And it turned out that his whole house could tell what great things God had done for them that night. And sometimes after we're saved, God does great things for us, and we fail to give him thanks, and we fail to tell people that he has done great things for us. I could go over a litany of things in my life that have happened where the Lord has done great things for me, things that other people don't even know about. And friend, I hope that you too can thank the Lord for what he has done and can tell others about the great things he has done for you, particularly about the great thing called salvation. We trust that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that a person can do. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened. Bless our program. We commit the care of thy word into thy care as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.